Hello and welcome to Experience Matters, the podcast from iCrossing that gets really under the skin of what makes successful interactions and create brilliant experiences for brands, both small and large. Today, we've covered a lot of subjects from artificial intelligence to loyalty to data. But that work that we create, those experiences that we're creating, would be useless unless we could get people there. So today, we're going to focus on the most important subjects of them all. How do we get people to your experiences? Search, or as we'd like to say, total search. And to ensure they're successful, we often need to bring expertise together. So today we are joined by two experts, both at iCrossing. We have Dan and we have Dean. Dean is a paid media strategist and Dan leads our total search strategy. And I think between them, we're going to have a really interesting conversation about how to ensure that we get the right audience to your experiences. Dean, would you like to introduce yourself?
Yeah, I'm a paid media strategist here at iCrossing. I've been here for around 2 years working across many of our accounts, everything from sort of daily management to overall strategy for paid media as a whole. So yeah.
I'm Dan, I'm the senior SEO director here at iCrossing, with my core unique selling point being around innovation and scalability for large global clients.
That's great, and welcome both of you. Should we jump straight in and work out what it is that we need to do? So when we say total search strategy and experience, what does that actually mean? Dan?
It's basically the relationship between paid search and organic. And what we're looking for within that is figuring out where users are going and how do we get the most visibility out of that without cannibalizing each other. So particularly what we see a lot is, particularly from a paid point of view, you know, clients are bidding on their brand terms, whereas we don't always need to do that, especially if there's no competition. And what it is doing is diluting our organic CTR, because from an organic perspective, if it's your brand, you're ranking number one for it anyway. So yeah, most of the time you don't need to bid on it. So it is about figuring out that the kind of dichotomy between those two channels and figuring out how we can make efficiencies and also work more closely together. Because from Dean's perspective, from a paid search perspective, they also have a lot more data that we don't get organically. Like, they can see what particular keywords have more of a ROI and convert, whereas from an organic perspective, we can't see that. So it's a lot of sort of data sharing, figuring out where we can win and how we don't sort of battle each other, essentially. And this is why this is a bit like couples therapy, because we shouldn't be battling. We should be together. We should be working there, and that's how we work at iCrossing.
Brilliant. Well, let's make sure that we bring you two closer over the next 20 minutes. And straight over to you, Dean. Have you got anything to add to kind of what Dan's saying around total search? Obviously, you own the paid media part. And is it recently that you've been working with organic, or has that always been part of how you've approached
it? It's kind of always been part of the way I've approached things, but we do that more here at iCrossing in terms of the way that we work together. It's also a case of, you know, there could be a drop off in terms of the sort of positions you take up on the search engine results page. So it's a case of finding a happy medium between SEO and paid, and where the kind of opportunity is as well in terms of the crossover. So we align on everything from our keyword lists, sort of the categorization there as well. And then we look for the biggest opportunities for those clients, and where we can kind of potentially put more budget into paid media, or where we could cut back using some of our tools like IX Competition as well. So yeah.
Wow, it feels like you've almost cracked it within the first 2 minutes. But for those listening and kind of needing to really talk to maybe their agency or to do it themselves, where do you need to start when it comes to kind of total search and doing it correctly?
Should I take this one? Yeah. I think it's all around understanding, particularly from an organic point of view, how you're doing from a brand perspective. Because usually the way we sort of find an issue where we know we need to have sort of this more total search approach is, for instance, where we see branded keywords, their click-through rates like really low. So we've had it in the past where we've had clients, their own keywords, the ones that they own, click-through rates being like 2%, and that is because they've got an aggressive sort of brand bidding strategy, and that could be, you know, their own internal team or another agency. So I think the data is the place to start, and I think definitely that branded element is where to look, because from an organic perspective, you shouldn't have any struggle there. You should rank for it organically. So if the click-through rates are low, there's something else going on there, and it could always not just be paid. It could be what else is going on in search in terms of AI overviews, SERP features that are coming through. But yeah, that's definitely the first place to start.
That's so interesting. And can you relate to that yourself, Dean?
Yeah, I think you touched on a really good point there as well about how, you know, everything's changing so fast. Everything's, you know, the way people are searching is changing. And in terms of, you know, you can now search via voice and you've also got image search and stuff. So I think just in that sense, everything is changing faster than we can kind of keep up. So it's great that we're adapting to that as best as we can here at iCrossing.
That's amazing. And I'm so surprised my 12-year-old son, so often now he just picks up his phone and he says, find this. And off he goes. So how does voice relate to kind of paid media, Dean, and kind of bring that to life?
In terms of voice, at the moment, we're obviously finding how, you know, everything is changing, you know, very fast. But at the same time, voice isn't too much impacting the way that we do things. But it's right. Also a case of making sure that we're aligning with SEO in terms of those search queries coming through. I think in terms of content is becoming more important due to the way that people are searching. It's making sure that our content is relevant to that audience and kind of tying that right back to the, you know, the overall audience strategy and making sure that it's audience first in terms of the way that we approach everything. We obviously have the audience intelligence team here at iCrossing, which do all the deep dives and give us everything from keywords, the intent, you know, what those users' needs are, what they're looking to achieve with their search. And I think that's the most important thing, is tying it right back to the audience.
Brilliant. That's so fascinating, isn't it? And how important kind of search is. But you mentioned then about being audience centered. So how do we ensure, Dean, that we do actually make things that are relevant to that audience?
Yeah, so the audience intelligence team do a lot of deep diving into understanding those audiences, not just their personas, but their needs and their wants. What are they searching for? What are they really trying to achieve from their search? And I think now we're seeing a lot more that search is at the very end of the user's sort of journey. They're getting to the search engine when they've already done their research. And I think that, you know, the audience insights really helps there in terms of keywords categorization, sorry. And then also, you know, in terms of content, ad copy as well, is that relevant to that user? So our audience intelligence team is really great for that. We also have a lot of tools that the media solutions team are developing in terms of the digital twin, which helps us feed that audience insight into the digital twin. And we can use that to ask questions as to whether that content is relevant to the user, to that audience, and we can really build from there as well.
So. That's great. And Dan, I know you've been close to the development of the digital twin products. And just talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah, so it's basically supposed to be like an easy way using AI to kind of field either things like copy or, you know, general questions to essentially an AI that's been trained on audience data. So it's almost like you're doing a survey, but you're basically speaking to a bot. It's basically for us to basically scale up that sort of audience intelligence and have like real sort of insight in terms of like how people are thinking, because I think from an SEO point of view, where we're sort of moving to when we say intent, we do have intent, so it's why the user has searched for that keyword, but there's also the emotional state. And this is really important in terms of AI, especially generative AI search, because particularly things like ChatGPT, the more you talk to them, the more it becomes personalized. And the more it becomes personalized, the more it's able to tap into that person's emotional state. So before, we used to be able to measure keywords just based on what someone wanted to do. It's sort of moving now in terms of where is that person emotionally and what is the response to do. And also going back to sort of Dean's point in terms of like how we use audience intelligence, it's all about value-based, because in the world now where you kind of have a lot of generative AI and people using it as well to create things like ad copy, for us it's like content. So really the only outlier in this race is being value-driven. And when we say value, it's what does the audience actually want, rather than doing the typical skyscraper method where you look at what everyone else is doing and who's winning at that, and you just emulate them. That doesn't cut it anymore. You need to be able to add value. And that is the thing that sort of platforms like Google and even the users are just hungry for. And we expect that to be the key driver for like success over the next couple of years as generative AI kind of takes over a lot of stuff.
That's really interesting, Dan. So can you just dig a little bit deeper around kind of that emotional state and identifying it, and how does that impact our work today at iCrossing?
Yeah, it's a good question, because the way it sort of impacts it is we do a lot of sentiment measuring. Yeah. So one of the things we look at is, you know, using things like a digital twin to look across all these platforms, what they're searching for. What's the sentiment? What is the output that they're getting, and measuring that so we can effectively tell brands, you know, where they're appearing more neutral, more positive, and then based on that audience archetype as well. I know people don't need, like, use the word archetype. What their emotional state is, and how do we add value from that? You know, if they're in a certain emotional state, what is the value that we're looking for, and how do we meet that? And also, it's important for brands to kind of understand where they can't as well, to be like, look, that kind of need state that they need, we can't really service, and we shouldn't really play in that area. And I feel like that is where not just paid search but organic sort of needs to be, is realizing where the audience emotional state is and where we can actually almost care for them. I know it's very wonky language, but that I think that is basically where stuff is going, especially as the kind of search becomes so much more personalized.
That's brilliant. And you're getting lots of nods from the paid media specialists sitting next to you. Can you build out on that, Dean, as well? I assume it's very relevant for paid media as well.
Yeah, I think so, in terms of, you know, just everything that Dan said there, in terms of, you know, making sure that we are answering exactly the question that the user's looking for in terms of with our search as well. So in terms of with the results that they're getting from the, you know, the queries that they're asking. So I think, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And Dean, just going back a little bit, you touched on something else which I found quite interesting, was that now people tend to be coming to search engines a little bit further down their search journey. What's the history of kind of how people have used search engines? And I often hear actually now that most people can stay within Google and get the information they need. If you could just give us a little potted history of search, that'd be great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the landscape's changing a lot. It's not also just search anymore. You'd probably say social is involved in that as well now. But previously, you know, users came to the engine just to, you know, identify what they might be looking for, do that more research-based activity as well. Whereas now we're finding that it's definitely more just at the end of that journey, more conversion. They've done their research online. In terms of on apps like TikTok, social is becoming more important for that as well. And I think, you know, users then are then finding themselves coming to Google and Bing, for example, when they want, you know, the actual result, they're looking to go, you know, find the thing they're looking for. And I think, you know, Dan touched on this a couple of days back. We were having a conversation about, you know, how that's changing again, and the sort of the AI results then, and that, you know, you can almost find everything you need in just the landing page now from your initial sort of search query, if you like. I think that's probably something Dan can expand on a little bit more than myself. But
yeah, it's a massive disruptor. It's that kind of zero click dominance. Yeah. Is going. We can see it now. It's disrupting stuff. It affects more in terms of like informational content. So websites that publish a lot of kind of up of the funnel content, lifestyle type stuff. Most of that can now be served without clicking on a website, either through other platforms, etc. So I think the way that brands need to think of it is that traffic's not coming back. But they need to think of ways to, how do they influence the information that's out there, particularly with AI, because obviously that is trained on scraping content. And, you know, we work with clients who use those platforms and they go, you know, that's wrong, or that's not the narrative we want. Obviously you can't control the narrative, but you want to help inform it. So it's almost like that informational content that exists on web is now becoming essentially there to train models, and that's probably how they need to think of it. And also more thinking about it in terms of reach and breadth and where it's appearing, rather than getting those clicks that are coming to the site. But it's kind of a good thing, because maybe a lot of those clicks that were coming to the site weren't exactly a very good return on investment, because yeah, they probably consumed the content, thought it was very good, and then left. Now Bing and Google and all the other search engines like Baidu, they're all very much just action driven. I want to purchase this, so I have to go to this website to do it, rather than the informational stuff is sort of being catered for on social platforms, ChatGPT, direct SERP features that kind of surface that information, essentially.
That's really interesting. So essentially Google and the other search engines, they're doing the filtering for the brands and
exactly
enabling you getting better quality leads once they click through. Great.
But it can be scary to clients, because they are going to see their traffic drop. And we have seen click-through rates for informational terms drop. So if you're doing sort of big holistic reporting, organic is in a tricky place at the moment. But when you actually get into the nuance of it, it's exactly that. We're getting better quality traffic.
And has it been around enough now to be able to convince clients that? Because obviously we are obsessed by numbers. We've done a recent podcast on data and getting the data to tell the story. But as you just said there, Dan, if the data is showing a massive drop-off in traffic, you know, how the client's feeling about it.
So the issue is at the moment is because there's an AI race, these AI platforms are not being transparent. So for instance, Google will not give us any data in terms of how their AI overviews are performing, even at like just a single website, because if that information ever got out that people weren't looking at it, people weren't consuming it, they would affect their share price. So same with all the other platforms, they're not giving us that sort of insight. So there anything we can really see is the click-through rates going down for informational. We can see these AI overviews appear more. I think there should be a bit more leeway, especially from Google, you know, because they're in this AI race at the moment. They will probably win some slice of that pie, and they'll want to monetize it. And the only way they can monetize it is by that data sharing stuff that they need to do. So I think we're basically in a transition at the moment. There is the way that things did yesterday, which we still need to keep an eye on because they're still effective. And there's the future and all the stuff that's coming in terms of zero click dominance. And we're kind of in this middle part where we kind of have to keep an eye on what keeps things running, but also have that sort of future eye on what's coming as well. And I would say, like, for clients, if they're working with an agency, they really need to be sort of judging, you know, are they in that block? Yeah. Are they in the transition period, or are they too future focused? Because you kind of just need to sit in the middle and have a more nuanced view.
Perfect. And when you say words such as zero click dominance, is that kind of what is meant by that? You know, there's no more clicks and...
Yep. It basically means the user can get all the information they need without clicking on a website.
Wow, incredible, really. And Dean, from a paid media point of view, can you relate to that? Is paid had to support it or try and challenge it?
Absolutely, yeah. And I think that's where total search is really important as well, in terms of, you know, even just alignment on keywords moving forward, making sure that we are as visible as we possibly can be at any possible opportunity. You know, you've also got the opportunity with long tail keywords where they might be a little bit more informational, a little bit more research based, potentially gives us an opportunity as well in terms of expanding that visibility. But I think, yeah, it just enhances, you know, the need for total search strategy across, you know, for our clients moving forward, which is, you know, great that we're aligning on that, I think.
That's great. And we've definitely in the world of AI now, and the power that AI, Dan mentioned, kind of putting that emotive element and kind of really tapping into people's emotive state. Dean, from a paid media point of view, how else has kind of AI impacted the work?
Yeah, absolutely. We've seen AI and automation involved in sort of more of our bidding strategies within Google, especially, and in terms of PMax is probably the most forward-thinking campaign that we have.
I'm going to stop you there. PMax?
Performance Max campaign. It's kind of like an all-in-one campaign which serves across different channels, multiple channels, so everything from Gmail to Discover to your standard search. You can include all of your content, so your assets as well. So if you've got nice visually appealing assets, we can use those, which obviously gives us a higher chance of getting clicks, and, you know, those users kind of following through to site. Performance Max is the most advanced in that sense. It's a very much like a black box. You know, it uses all of kind of like machine learning, but it takes away our control, if you like, from that point of view as well. So it's something we're going to have to sort of, you know, get up to speed with, keep moving with in terms of the times. But yeah, I think PMax is probably the most advanced AI sort of media, what's the word I'm looking for? Machine learning solution there is. Great. From Google at this current moment in time.
Wow, super interesting. So we joked at the start about bringing you two closer together, and I'm sure that is relevant to a lot of people listening to this. So what is your advice with everything that we've talked about so far around how do we ensure that paid media and organic can work together? Dan, you mentioned at the start about not cannibalizing each other. If we could talk about making sure that there's harmony, how do we do it?
That's a good question. I think it depends on the relationship you've got. So obviously we work on a lot of clients where that's integrated already, but we also work with ones where it could be an external agency, it could be like an in-house team. I think it's just about talking. It's about data sharing. It's not being protectionist in terms of, you know, this is my channel, don't come near it, and sharing data, sharing insights, even just like little things. So I think one of the good things that we do is just things around like ad copy, what's working. That's really helpful for us, especially when we're doing kind of just content briefs and working with the content team, figuring that type of stuff. And also, you know, like I mentioned before about like what keywords convert, we don't get that information. So there's loads of stuff as well from an organic perspective, like we can share with like Dean's team in terms of where we're ranking organically, where we know the specific cert features, where we know like the intent, etc. So I think it's all about talk. Don't be afraid to talk to them, essentially. Don't talk to the other side, like just get involved, have like weekly meetings, etc., and just have like a really sort of transparent conversations around.
I love that. And so often in the world of media and experience design, silos are the biggest barriers, aren't they? And we as humans are ahead of the AIs at the moment and actually being able to talk and work out and identify the best way. Dean?
Yeah, just on what Dan said there, I think it's also, you know, really important not to be afraid to test and learn. I think that's the biggest opportunity that we have in terms of aligning in terms of keywords and ad copy, like Dan mentioned, but also, you know, one might work for, from a paid point of view, but it might not work organically. It's about how we resonate with those users, making sure that, you know, the content, you know, matches up to our audience insights as well. I think that's probably the biggest opportunity we've got, is just to keep testing, keep learning, and kind of move forward with the times as well. So, yeah.
Brilliant. And we've covered a lot already, and I think we've only been talking for about 10 minutes. So going beyond AI and going beyond the kind of the zero click and the world of search changing, is there any other trends that are impacting our world?
Good question. There is. It kind of is AI related, but it isn't.
That's
but
fine. We'll let AI back in.
As the algorithms are getting more sophisticated, because I don't think people realize that how naturally we don't talk to Google. We talk in a very robotic way because we know that's the way we get the results. The way that things are going, people are speaking more naturally. You mentioned things like voice search, multimodal search, where we're taking a picture of something and going, where's this from? We're talking a more natural language. That is fantastic, great user experience, kind of bad for us because that means there's so much more data. And because people are speaking in these ways, it just means that the kind of high value search volume terms we used to have, they're getting diluted into more sort of natural language terms. So what we need and sort of what we use at iCrossing is a lot of sort of topic clustering and quantification of sort of categories, because otherwise, you know, you just get a big spreadsheet full of these keywords with no instruction. You need to sort of categorize them into those emotional states, into the intent and by topic. So then you can really understand like how you can target them either via content or from a paid perspective, essentially.
Amazing. Really interesting.
Yeah, and I just add to that, from a search, paid search point of view, we're seeing search themes, for example, in PMax campaigns. And I think that's the way we're going to move forward. I think we will see your sort of standard keywords, match types of exact match and phrase match. I think they will soon fade and it will be very much broad and then almost, you know, like a search theme. So it's just whether it's relevant to that theme as opposed to the keyword itself. So I think that's the way things are going to move. And in terms of social, we're already seeing keywords being embedded into sort of, you know, the targeting as a whole in terms of social platforms as well. I know that's now on TikTok. So I think, you know, there's advancements there that we're still using those keywords, but it will be more just around the overall theme that what the user is searching for and looking for. So yeah.
Fantastic. And your expertise in both areas kind of really coming through. And if I was to be so bold as to say, let's fast forward to 2030, nobody can predict what's going to be like in 1230. But if I was to put you on the spot now and say, how will I be searching for information in 2030? What would you be saying back to me, Dan?
I would say you would have a platform, whether that is Google or ChatGPT, that will do everything for you.
Amazing.
Where I think, you know, at the moment we're talking about zero clicks, but that is very much for the short term going to be on that informational stuff. I think we may end up similar to they have in China with WeChat, where it's more of a platform to basically do everything. So you can book an appointment, purchase through e-commerce platforms, all through one platform. That then creates an existential crisis in terms of web, like, what is the point of it? Why are we doing it? Why are we updating websites and stuff? So I think that's my prediction in terms of like where we'll transition to. But also I think there will probably be sort of outliers and things that happen, not just digitally but economically, that may change behaviors, because we already know from like younger audiences like what are they called? The younger audience. Generation
Z.
That is it. the younger generation sort of are looking for more authentic platforms. And that's why TikTok is so big. So if you have something that is so corporate, like Google is really, and these ChatGPT things, are people who want that authentic experience going to use them? There may be backlash against it. People might not want to do that, and that might mean we go back and people wanting more real physical experiences. But that is me being very science fictiony and speculative.
But I like it as well. An interesting use of the word authentic and using social platforms such as TikTok to give that authenticity. I think older generations prefer like a trusted source. So super interesting. Dean, will you still be doing your same job in 5 years' time?
I think it will have changed massively, Mark. Yeah, I think, you know, keywords, you know, they're going to fade. I think it will be search themes, and that will change the way that we sort of do our targeting, the campaigns that we structure, but also from paid media as a whole. I think it's going to change. It's a changing world as it is. E-commerce, you've got TikTok Shop, which is probably becoming one of the, you know, the top e-commerce platforms there is. And I think we'll see advancements of that, especially as Dan was just saying, you know, that users really want that authenticity. They want to go to a user they love on TikTok and buy stuff that they recommend. So I think, you know, things are changing massively. Brands will be more present on something like TikTok Shop, so that changes e-commerce. And I think just from, you know, search as a whole, I think it's going to change a lot. I don't think we'll be too worried about keywords and how a specific keyword performs. It will be about audiences and how we you know, get the right content in front of the right audiences. And I think that's why our audience intelligence team is going to be so vital moving forward, for sure.
That's fantastic. Getting the right content in front of the right audiences. I love that. And Dean, sorry to put you on the spot a little bit, but a brand that's done it well?
A brand that's done...
The search that we've talked about, the new way of searching.
The new way of searching, a brand that does it well. Oh, that's a good question, Mark, off the top of my head.
Let me to come back to you later in the show.
Yes, I think so. Okay, yeah, make sure. Thank you. Let me think on that.
And Dan, what about yourself? Brands that you're familiar with that you've got, you looked at and gone, actually, yeah, you're headed in the right direction.
There is it's not a site, it's a classical musical app called Adagio. You might have heard of it. They basically are kind of like an anti-Spotify. Nice. Because in terms of the actual pay musicians and stuff, but in that platform, it is not just for listening to music. You can find out about the history of the composer, and you get it's almost like Wikipedia kind of combined with classical music. And it's kind of very ethical. As I mentioned, they pay like the sort of rates they send out to the musicians is quite high, higher than a lot of other platforms. And they have like sort of this all-encompassing experience. So, you know, the way I usually discover music is reading music publications, which is on another platform. Then I go onto a Spotify and Apple Music to listen to it. But then I'm like, oh, what music of theirs isn't on that platform? And then I go back onto web, or I go through all these various places, whereas I think Adagio kind of has captured all of it in one place. And again, that's what I think brands need to think of, is like, how do you capture that total experience in one spot?
Yeah, nice. We've moved from total search to total experience, which is a great direction in where this is going. Wow, this is fascinating. And I'm understanding both, I think, the complexity and the simplicity of what we mean by total search. And I think that complex piece, we need to dig a little bit deeper, because it sounds like there's lots of things that we need to align to ensure that we can enable people to find what they're looking for. And does that kind of affect the types of kind of platforms that you might need to be able to do that?
Yeah, Dean? Absolutely. And, you know, we have our own proprietary tools where, you know, in terms of IX competition, it allows us to bid on terms when we've got competition on those branded terms, and also turn those branded terms off from our point of view for our clients when there's no competition there. And that, you know, allows the client to save money. We can reutilize that media spend and put that elsewhere. And I think moving forward, that'll be, you know, content like YouTube, you know, more brand awareness, more upper funnel, which then obviously has more of an impact on our lower funnel activity that we're here to also support on as well. So I think, you know, our tools internally at iCrossing are going to really help in terms of that advancement moving forward. The visualization tools that we develop for total search, understanding where that crossover is, where the opportunity is between keywords, you know, in terms of our categorization, aligning on that as well. So yeah, I think in terms of, you know, the tools that we have here at iCrossing, it definitely helps us moving forward for sure.
Great. And I know, Dan, you're familiar with these tools as well, and you're aware of them yourself and how they work.
Yeah, there's a lot of secret ones as well that I can't talk about, especially involving digital twin, because yeah, looking at it from an OmniSearch perspective, how do you use a digital twin to actually search and go out into the space?
Amazing.
So watch this space. But yeah, a lot of the tools are sort of based on our sort of core element in terms of adding value. They're not just there for automation's sake to make our lives easier. They're kind of very insight driven. They're there to sort of surface insight like a lot quicker, so we can be a lot more reactive and receptive with clients with it. Because I think that's another thing in terms of this new age, and it's kind of difficult from an SEO perspective, but we need to be quick, we need to be fast, we need to be able to scale quickly and get those insights as quick as possible so we can figure out what to do with them.
Yeah, and that's a really interesting point, Dan, isn't it? It's just being able to scale and act quickly. And I think, you know, we talked earlier, didn't we, about coming together and communicating more. And all of that is so essential to enable that we can respond and change direction. Dean, it sounds like you'd like to follow up
as
well.
Yeah, just on that, IX Health for us in paid media is fantastic. It gives us an overview of how our ads, you know, in terms of their health, how they're performing, and allows us to make very quick optimizations off the back of that. We can jump in there every day and see straight away what's performing, what isn't performing. Is the ad copy, you know, within sort of reason in terms of, you know, the character count? You know, if there's any errors in terms of 404s, it just gives us a really, you know, quick insight as to how those ads are performing. We can make really quick optimizations. It just puts us ahead of the game, I think, in terms of that as well.
Well, that's absolutely great. And something I've really taken away from this chat is being nimble and being quick and understanding changing world. You know, technology is advancing at a rate, and that does impact how people search, and to the points Dan made around changing generations as well, and how people are looking for authenticity, and then what that means from your search strategy. I love that in this episode we even got a sneak preview of something that's coming down the line, and it'd be interesting to see how that manifests itself. How do we actually get that digital twin out there in the world? And we'll be talking more about that in future episodes. But for today, I'd like to thank Dean, Dan, total search experts in their various fields. I feel they've come closer during this last half hour as well. And I look forward to a future where we can help brands like yourself in making sure you get the right people to your experiences. And I look forward to seeing you in the next episode of Experience Matters.